So right off the bat, I want to just straight up acknowledge that in our world today, in our society, there are two words that often, when you hear these two words, we also often look at it in a negative sense. And those two words being isolation and silence. Like even right now, see how I just went quiet? Awkward silence is very uncomfortable, right? Awkward silence is something that we do not enjoy majority of the time because we're so used to having things around us, whether it's music, whether it's just TVs on, whatever it may be, silence is not something we feel comfortable in. Same thing with isolation. We as people, much like Rusty was just describing during announcements, we are naturally people that want to be around others. God geared us to be in relationship with our friends, our family. We were meant to be a people that gather. But sometimes isolation is what's needed in our walk with Christ. Silence is sometimes necessary for the sake of hearing and truly understanding what God is trying to teach us and show us. But a lot of times we don't know what that means anymore. We don't understand what it means to be in true isolation and silence away from everything and only be with God. So this morning I want to kind of get into a certain psalm that I think really captures the idea of what it means to not only be in isolation and silence, but what it means to truly trust God in those moments that you need refuge, that you need to be away, that you can only be with him. Because I truly believe that if we believe in the God that died for us, if we believe in the blood that was atoned for us, and if we find true security in that, that we understand that some of the best things we can do in our life is to go and to be away in isolation, in silence with him, because we know there's no other place, there's no other person, or there's no other thing in this world that can help us and guide us in certain moments in our lives. So as always, I'll let the word speak for itself. So let's go ahead and dive in. We can open up to Psalms chapter 46. I'll give everybody a second to get there. And as we all know, the Psalms are, as most people call them, these, all the Psalms were songs, right? They were songs of encouragement, songs of just lament, basically people talking about things that maybe they were struggling with and their trust and faith in God. So this morning, this is actually a psalm of both encouragement as well of just thanksgiving for who God is and what he's doing for them in this time. So Psalm 46, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through the whole psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Though the earth trembles and the mountains topple in the depths of the seas, though its waters and the foam in the mountains quake with its turmoil, there is a river, it streams the light, the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple. The earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes war cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows, cuts spears to pieces. He burns the chariots. Stop your fighting. Or in some versions, it says, be still and know that I am God. Exalted among the nations, exalted among the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So this hymn is actually a hymn of celebrating. The city of Zion is a special city that God has pledged his security, had God had pledged his protection and love over them. So much so that God pledged to bless the world through them. And the people of God in this city that knew that felt secure in him, trusted him in his words to say that they have refuge in him alone. It's not their armies, it's not their stronghold, it's not the buildings or the things that were built around them that kept them safe and secure, but it was the refuge in him that they understood. That's what made them feel safe. That's what made them feel secure. It's refuge in God. In these verses, to kind of just give a small breakdown, these are a few ways that when you're reading through these verses that we can understand how God is described. He is the helper in times of trouble. He is someone that shows us we should not fear no matter what is going on around us. Storms, chaos, everything in the world could be falling apart, but yet we know and trust in God is holding it all together. Everything comes to order with his voice. He is with us. He is our stronghold. And he tells us these simple words. Stop fighting. Or as I said, as I was reading the verses, be still. I like these two different translations that's used of stop fighting and be still. Because what is being said when God is commanding this of us? Stop fighting. What are we fighting in our lives? Even right now, what are you fighting? What are you having turmoil with that you need to put down and realize that the battle was not yours? Be still and trusting and waiting and knowing that God is already handling it, knowing that God is already with you in the suffering, in the pain. It seems like a simple thing for us to do, but when I tell y'all, we as people are of people of pride. And sometimes we don't trust God to be the one to fight for us. Sometimes we don't trust God enough to just be still and know who he is. Because we think that we can handle things on our own. We think that we can solve our own problems. We think that when we are in turmoil spiritually, we think there's some kind of way, there's something we can research. We try to find every which way possible to heal pain. We try to find every way possible to deal with the spiritual sin that's killing us inside, from the inside out. There's always something that's racing in our minds, keeping our thoughts, keeping our just ourselves busy. I truly believe that we've lost the true ability to understand what silence really is. And what I mean by that is, even if you're in the middle of a forest, say you have a man hunting, and this, all you hear is the silence of the forest, right? It's amazing how just because who we are as people in the modern day, our minds still race. Our minds still thinks of so many different things that are going on. That even though there may be silence around us physically, our minds are still not silent. Because we always find a way to think of, okay, what am I doing tomorrow? What am I going to eat later? What am I going to do later? What do I need to do for the rest of the week, right? We're always trying to find something to occupy our thoughts, our minds, and we lack the understanding of what it means to truly be in a state of meditation. And I'm not talking about like monks meditating. I'm talking about true meditation of just being able to stop thinking about all that's going on, all that's going to happen in the next few days, the next few hours. But just focus and be in silence with the Father. Allow him to be your refuge and be still. We must find peace in Christ. And we must first find refuge and peace in him before we can truly hear his voice. Every single one of us that claims to be a follower of Christ has heard the voice of God. Because it's nudged us. It's pushed us to surrender our lives to him. And at the time of us wanting to receive salvation through him and wanting to surrender our lives to him, we may have heard him slightly, but we didn't truly hear his voice yet. anybody that first surrenders their life to Christ, we got that initial nudge, or he pushed us, or he's guiding us, or he opened his hand to us, and we made that choice to surrender our lives to him. But we didn't have a true understanding or hearing his voice yet. Because I truly believe to hear God, you need to understand who he is in your life and understand that we need to be in a place of silence and refuge with him. And how do we find this peace in God? How do we find this security in God? I think one of the easiest ways to understand the security we have in Christ is to understand his sacrifice, to understand the blood that was sacrificed for us. To me, one of the greatest examples of understanding how we are secure in Christ is to understand the blood that we are secure through. The perfect blood of atonement secures us forever. Jesus' death on the cross, the blood that was spilled for us, I don't think there's no greater security or refuge that we can depend on. One of the books that me and the youth are currently going through is called The Pursuit of God. Matter of fact, most of this sermon that I'm speaking of this morning comes from us, one of the chapters in this book. And it highlights the idea of what it means to be secure in God and hear his voice. It's by an author by the name of A.W. Tozer. And he talks about the idea of what it means to have peace in God. And knowing that there's so many things that God has blessed us with and has given us to make us feel secure. But there's no greater refuge and there's no greater security than the blood that was spilled for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, it says this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven." When I read that verse, and I was thinking just of the security and all the safety I feel in God, knowing the blood that was spilled for me, and the refuge and the safety I feel in that, it made me think of an old hymn that growing up, this church I used to go to would sing all the time. And because I love y'all so much, I will not sing it. So, I when I said that we should feel secure in blood, I don't want y'all to bleed out of y'all ears trying to hear me sing. So, but I will say some of the lyrics in this song. The song is this old hymn, and the hymn is "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." One of my favorite hymns, and even now, like just saying those words, I can still remember being young, and even though I didn't fully grasp what this hymn was saying, there was still this safety and this just understanding of knowing how powerful these words were. Just a small little verse out of this hymn. It says, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." There's just so much peace, so much security in that, right? The blood that will never lose its power from day to day. The blood that was shed for me way back on Calvary. There's just so much power in that. There's just so much love in that. And it's just so amazing that we worship a God that gives us so much security and peace and refuge in knowing what he's done for us. So I ask us this morning, where do you feel secure? Do you feel secure in a God that died for you, that bled for you? Do you find refuge in him? Or do you find refuge elsewhere? Where does your refuge come from? And that's something we have to ask ourselves daily. Not once in a while, not maybe every so often, but you have to ask yourself that daily. On your day-to-day walk with Christ, do you find refuge in him? This week, as most of y'all know, I was in camp with the youth, and one of the things that really stuck out to me this week was the camp pastor, named Pastor Kenny. It's kind of fitting how, you know, I was preparing my sermon throughout the week, had a lot of time during camp to sit down and just really meditate on the word. But one of the things he mentioned was this idea of how we as people find refuge in our sin. He talked about how so many people, the reason why we're so lost and so just anxious, so just never finding peace and security and always nervous, full of anxiety. Matter of fact, he even showed a graph to all the youth showing how throughout the years, how the anxiety level and the stress of people has gone up year by year by year, to the point that if you compare just a decade ago, the stress and anxiety levels has jumped hugely compared to the early 2010s. Now in the 2020s, right, that the stress and anxiety level has reached, like it's almost unprecedented how much stress and anxiety people have on day to day. And why is that, right? I mean, I think it's obvious, and he mentioned this, but it's the idea of social media. It's the idea of just we have instant access to every bad slash good thing going on, right? It's like you can't hear good news without hearing three times the amount of bad news, right? There's never an equal balance of just allowing us to just be still and wait and hear. Like, we don't even have time to have sympathy on the bad news that we hear, right? Because the second we hear bad news, it's like you try to have a moment of like, oh, that was horrible. Oh, I want to pray for them. But then all of a sudden, you hear more news. And then more news. And we just scroll and we just see more information that constantly blocks out our brain from us being able to even have any type of moment of just being still, having a moment to pray, having a moment to actually feel any type of sorrow for the devastating news we just heard. Once again, in our world, it's so hard to understand what it means to be still and have refuge and trust in God, because we just never stop hearing more news. There's constant information being thrown at us through our phones, through the TV. We don't give ourselves a break to just get away and meditate and be with God. We're just always so busy, always something distracting us. There's always something keeping our minds racing. And the pastor mentioned how the sad part is when stress and anxiety comes, what we tend to do is we find refuge in our sins. We find refuge in something that gives us pleasure, something that makes us happy. We tell God that whatever you've given me or whatever you have for me is not enough. Sin, give me something that God cannot give me. Sin, please me in a way that God is not pleasing me right now. Sin, give me instant access to happiness, joy, and safety right now. Because, you know, that's the hardest part about trusting God in a storm, is we expect God to move and help and work as soon as we want him to. We want God to work immediately. We want God to come and save us as soon as possible, to help us through something when we expect him to. Instead of understanding that sometimes God needs us to go through trials and tribulations, that way we can hear him more clearly. That way we can put more trust in him. Sometimes God needs to put us through moments of discipline. Sometimes God needs to allow us to face the things that we may think, why is this happening to me? I trust you. I believe in you. Why am I going through this? Sometimes God has to put us through those things. That way we can understand how deeply he truly loves us. Because it's through trials, it's through storms, it's through tribulations, it's through all the things we face that we can really see God move. We can really see God in our lives in ways that we wouldn't see if everything was always all right. So do we have security and do we trust in God? Or do we just find refuge in the sin that pleases us in the moment? Or the things that make us happy right away? Because we all know we live in an instant access, immediately kind of world, right? Which, once again, why I said it's so hard for us to be in isolation and be still. Because if I'm hungry, I don't even have to wait on a meal. I can just go get it. I can just throw something in the microwave right away. Everything is instant. Everything is immediate. We want things faster in the shortest form. That's why in today, the greatest form of information is given in a 30-second reel. Most kids, and even adults, it's not just the kids, because I know plenty of adults that's addicted to TikTok. But TikTok is the shortest form of entertainment at max is about 1 minute, but majority of the time it's about 30 seconds. And then you move on to the next thing, and then the next thing. And it's quick, it's immediate, and the sad part is that's bled into our walk with Christ. And it's not even just social media, but just everything we do. We want the quickest form, the quickest way possible. And when God doesn't move that way, and he's telling us to be still, to wait on him, to have refuge in him, we just give up all hope and say, God is not with us. Because clearly, if he was with us, he would have helped me by now. If he was truly that security, he would have been there for me when I needed him. This is the things that we wrestle with on a day by day. And it's until we find refuge in him that you will be able to truly hear him clearly. Because a lot of times people ask, I don't feel like I hear God's voice. I don't feel like I can tell what God is telling me. Well, first you have to find refuge in him and go to a place of silence and be still to hear him. Bible open in front of you, reading his word, hearing his voice through his words, knowing that the Bible is how God speaks through us, knowing that in prayer, in moments of quietness, is how God's voice is being heard clearly through the believers, through the Spirit. So we have to be still to hear the voice of Christ. Or as, once again, certain translations say, stop fighting. And I love that translation. The idea of stop trying to fight your sin by yourself. Stop trying to fight depression. Stop trying to fight anger. Stop trying to fight hatred, sadness, anxiety, stress. Stop fighting all these things. Because guess what? You will never win on your own. Matter of fact, you'll never win at all. Because those are all things that we lay down at the feet of Christ. And the more we fight, the more tired we get, and the more life just looks worse and worse and worse. You know, you ask yourselves, what leads people to give up their own life? Because they're tired of fighting. They feel like life has beat them down so hard. They've been fighting stress, anxiety, loneliness, sorrow, pain, sadness, depression. And because they've been fighting it on their own, and they feel like nobody is there that understands them, once they have no more fight in them, then what's the point in life? I always tell the youth this. People don't take their own life because of a physical injury. They take their own life because of a spiritual injury. Nobody takes their life because they burned themselves on an oven. Nobody takes their own life because they had a horrible, once again, physical injury on their body. People take their own life because of that spiritual pain that they feel like cannot be healed by any physical doctor, by no nurse, no medicine. And it's true. No physical doctor, no medicine can heal a spiritual wound. Only Christ can. But unless they're hearing the voice of Christ that is with them, they feel as though there really is no hope for me. So why do I keep living? So that's why God tells us to stop fighting. Be still. Trust in him. And the sad part is, I would say that this idea of being in silence, being still, stop fighting God, is not just something that happens to the people out in the world. But we struggle with stillness even in church. If you look at most modern churches, right, and I'm not attacking our church or any church in particular, I'm just talking about on a broad perspective, right? Even churches have become so busy. It's so much entertainment, so much things going on at the church. We'll go from program to program. We have to follow this routine. Everything has to go a certain way, a certain order. Even in church, we find ourselves so busy with activities, all these different things that we're not even understanding what it means to be still, even in the worship of God in his local body, in his local church. Religion and tradition sometimes keeps us more busy than our actual relationship with Christ. We're so caught up in doing so many things for the church, we're not being the church. Even in our servitude, we're so busy thinking, if I just serve more in the church, if I just do more, which of course we encourage serving in the local body, because we know that serving is not about us, it's about Christ and everyone around us. We serve because Christ has first served us, and we are just leading in his example. But understanding that even servitude can become an idol, because we think that the more works I do, the more things I do, the closer I get to God. There's a quote in the book I was talking about from A.W. Tozer, In the Pursuit of God, and it says this: religion has accepted the monstrous heresy that noise, size, activity, and bluster make a man dear to God. I'll read that one more time, because if you have a Mamu education like me, that probably went right over your head, because I had to read this about 3 times. Religion accepted the monstrous heresy that noise, size, activity, and bluster make a man dear to God. Just take that in for a second. Our churches have become so noisy, has become so distracted. We've lost the focus of why we even meet. We've become so caught up in how many people can we get? What can we do to attract people? How can we entertain people? That we're thinking that we need a better activity. We need more things to draw the crowds. We have to keep ourselves busy and active. We always have to post our churches, what we're doing on Facebook. That's the only way that people will know that we're doing good things for God, if we post everything we do on social media. We've lost the focus. Because once again, it's never about us. It's never about this building or any church building. You could have the most beautiful church building on the planet, but yet be filled with disgusting people that don't have no idea what it means to even have the beauty of Christ in them. Because it's all just a show. It's all just entertainment. It's all just another form of how do we attract people to make ourselves look higher and greater than the church down the road. We have lost the focus of what it means to truly understand what God is trying to tell us. And the only way that we're going to hear the voice of God, the only way that we can understand what it means to be in silence with God is if we allow ourselves, when we're not in the congregation of people, if we go off in silence, in prayer, and reading our word by ourselves when nobody is around, it's the time that we spend with God away from people that affect the time we spend with God with people. If we are spending time with God in faithful isolation and silence away from others, that is how we truly build up our local body. Because imagine a church full of people that are spending faithful time with God outside of church. And what happens when those people that are faithful in their isolation and their silence and their time with God outside of church come together as a church? Then that time together is, it's like no other. Because we were in worship, in praise, spending time with God alone and growing in our relationship with him, understanding, hearing his voice throughout the week, allowing him to show us things, reveal things to us. That way, when we come together, we speak and glorify God and all that he's done for us all throughout the week. That is what we as a church body should aim for, should strive for. That's an example of why we're doing this survey. Because we want to know, has a struggle for you been spending time with God outside of church? Has a struggle been, I just don't feel like I can spend time with God in silence because I'm just so distracted. I'm always busy. And I don't know what that answer is for you, but I know that's been a struggle for me, which is also the reason why I'm preaching on it. As y'all know, I'm a new father. My son is only 2 years old, soon going to be three. And I'm still trying to figure out, and most men tell me I will never figure it out. But thank God I have people in my life that encourage me and remind me. And I have men in this church and people that tell me all the time that fatherhood is never about having it figured out, but going to the one that has it all figured out. Spending time with the one that will tell me what I need to teach my son, that will tell me what I need to do to be a better father for him. And that's only Christ. And they remind me and keep me accountable and tell me that I need to be spending more time with him. Because I can do all the good, quote unquote, dad things, be the role model father. But if I'm not teaching him about his true heavenly father, then I've failed. And I agree with that. So this morning, I want to ask us all, what is Jesus trying to tell us? I know for sure he's telling us to stop fighting, to be in silence. We have to train ourselves, just like anything else, to understand what it means to have moments of silence, being away in your word. I understand that isolation and awkward silence and all this can be weird sometimes. But it's so necessary. Why do you think Jesus set that example of him going off and praying alone, even away from his own disciples? Not because Jesus was like, oh, I'm tired of being with these annoying teenage disciples. I need a break from them. I mean, there probably was times where Jesus was like, oh, man, these disciples. But let's be honest. It wasn't because he was annoyed of disciples or he was tired of being around people. He just understood how important it was to be alone in silence with the Father. And he set that example for us. So it is important that we learn to be still and wait on God. Get alone with him, preferably with your Bible outspread in front of you. And make that a daily habit. None of us are going to be perfect at it, but we should strive to be the best we can at spending time with him. We all need to practice the art of silence and getting away. And we have to ask ourselves, when and where can we give up something, give up a time, give up a moment to do that? If you have to wake up a little bit earlier, that's fine. If there's a time in your day that you are maybe busy spending time on your phone or doing something else, be willing to sacrifice that time to spend time with him alone. And we have to truly ask ourselves, do we find refuge and peace in Christ? And if we do, that's the only way we'll be able to truly hear the voice of God, to truly hear him speaking into our soul, into our spirit, guiding us through the Holy Spirit. But if we never find refuge and peace, we'll feel as though God is never speaking to us. If we don't ever go into silence, or we don't ever spend time with him away from everyone, God's voice will start to get quieter and quieter and quieter. Because you won't be able to recognize him from anything else in the world that's distracting us. So this morning, the biggest question I have to ask everyone, and I pray that we can spend the time, a little time in prayer this morning, asking ourselves this question. Are you too busy to listen to God? Is your life, your work, your time with your family, time with friends, a hobby or whatever it may be, is that making you too busy to listen to our Heavenly Father? And if so, what do you need to cut out of your life to spend that time with him? So spend that little time in prayer this morning, meditating on that. Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning. As always, giving you all glory, all honor, and all praise. For only you are worthy. This morning, Lord, as we get ready for the week ahead, I pray that each and every one of us can just reflect on our lives and ask ourselves, what in our lives is a distraction? What is keeping us too busy to just go off and be alone and spend time with you? In this world we live in, there's just constant distractions. There's constant busyness. We keep ourselves so preoccupied with everything else in this world that we're not even spending time with the one that loves us greater than anything that this world could ever give us. The one that sees us, sees our pain, see our struggles, see the things we're facing on a day-to-day basis. And is constantly just wants to surround us with your love and grace and mercy. But yet, because of all that we're doing, because of our busy lives, We don't know what it truly means to hear your calming, your loving, your caring voice on us. We've lost what it means to have that peace on our souls, to have that safety and that refuge in you. So as we close this morning, Lord, help us to go back to that. Help us to be reminded what it means to find peace, refuge, and to be in silence with you. So all these things we ask in the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.